Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi. Menachos Daf Chaf Vav. We begin at the Mishnah, which is four lines from the top of the Om. It says the Mishnah Nitmu Shirea. So what happened was he did the Kmitza, and the Shirayim became left over, became Tamei. Well, they got burnt or lost. Nisrafu Shira, they got burnt up. Avdu Shira, the Shirayim, the leftovers, got lost. They're gone. So he had a full mincha. He did the kmitza. Before he got a chance to be makter, the kmitza, the rest, the leftover, the Shirayim, either disappeared entirely or became disabled, became Tamei. So the question really is, do we need them? Ideally, you have a kaimitz, which goes to the mizbeach and the shirayim to the kaihanim. But are both components really critical to the success of the mincha? Or perhaps it's enough to have the kaimitz put on the mizbeach, on the shirayim, crucial or not? So we have this old machlekes back in Maseches Pesachim between Rabbi Eliezer, who says it's not really necessary to have the shirayim. He talks about an animal, a korban. He says, look, as long as you have the dam, the blood for the mizbeach, you're good to go. Ideally, you meant to have both components, the dam for the mizbeach and the basar to be consumed, the chalev as well. But if you only have the dam, you can go ahead with it. Be, makriv, zerek, the dam, and you're good. According to Rabbi Yeshua, you must have both elements, something of both. You have to have some dam and some basar or some chalev. So, by comparison, by extension, the same with a mincha, which has likewise two components. It has the part that goes on the mizbeach, the kaimitz, and you have the leftovers. Here you're missing the leftovers. What happens now? Could you continue and do the aktara on the kaimitz? Kimidas Rabbi Elazar, share according to Rabbi Elazar's opinion that the only critical component in an animal carbon is dam. Likewise, the only critical element in a mincha is the kmitza kshera. You're good to go. Or kmitza b'shua psula. According to b'shua, it's possible, because just as by the animal carbon you need dam and basar to reach success, likewise over here you need kmitza and shirayim. Amarav you mamarav v'hush nitmu kol shirea. The Mishnah says that the shirayim became tamei. It's only if the entire shirayim is tamei, nothing left, then you're in trouble. According to Rabbi Yeshua, aval mikza shirea. Let's say only part of it. You have some left over. Like, for example, you have a kazayis left over. Lloyd, then you're okay, because there's some shirayim here. Kasaka daitach. The Gemara at this point figured that Rav specifically meant nitma. Dafka, in the case of tamei, which is the first of the three cases in the Mishnah, we had tamei, we had burnt, we had lost. Only when the material is still here, just the problem is it became tamei. There we say, you know what? There's some left over, you go nitmain, but of it was sort of like, but in the next two cases, lost and burnt, even if there's some left over, it's not going to be sufficient. And the question is, why? Maika Savar. What does Rav hold? Ika Savar Shiur Milsahi. If he holds that if there's something left over, it's enough to proceed. I feel of it is sort of nami. So then, likewise, in the second and third cases as well. Ika Savar Shiur Lav Milsahi. If he holds that a bit left over is not sufficient. Vinitma my time. So why would he allow the case where mostly became tummy and there's some left over? Why is that okay? Why is that different, my time? Because that has a special allowance. The maratza tzitz, because the tzitz takes care of the material that's tummy. As we learned the other day, right? Yesterday. Yach, if that's the case, you're addressing it by the tzitz, then even if there's nothing left behind, even if everything becomes tamei, even if the entire shirayim became tamei, well, the tzitz overrides it, and you're good. So again, when Rav says part leftover is okay, and he seems to say it only by the nitma, why? The answer is like loylam kasava shira and milsi. Certainly, Rav holds if there's something left over, it's good enough. The nitma, and although he mentioned tuma, but he just cited that as an example, the first of the three cases. Vinit muadin of the saraf. Same exact rule would apply if there's partly left over in the case of the lost or the burnt. Vaidikomer Nitma, why do you mention specifically Nitma? Rishai Noka, they just meant the first on the list. So he cited the first on of the three, but of course it applies to all three as long as there's something left over. The Sani is learned in the Brice, even going to be Shua. You don't need the entire volume. As long as there's something left over. All karbanos in the Torah and Shteir Mehem Kazayis. That's it. All you need is a Kazayis Basar or a Kazayis Chelev. As long as you have a Kazayis of the Basar or the Chelev, that is enough to allow you to proceed and to be Zerik as Adam. Kachatzi Zayis Basar. Let's say you only have half and half, half a Zayis of Basar, which is meant for human consumption, together with a half a Zayis of the Chelev, which is meant for the Mizbeach. Kachatzi Zayis Chelev. Ein Zerik as Adam. It's not enough to allow for Zerika. You can't be metzarev. You can't combine basa, which is meant for achila, with chelav, which is meant for aktara. That's by a regular carbon. Uba oila, by an oila, where the entire carbon, the basa and the chelav, all goes on the mizbeach. So it's really all considered one, type of material. There you can combine half and half. Afilu kachet zayis basa. Uka chatzi zayis chelav. Even have a half a zayis basa, half a zayis of chelav. You combine them, you get a total of a kazayis to allow you to do the blood application on the Mizbeach, Zerik Sadam, and the reason is Meshukula Kala, because it's all meant for the Mizbeach, so there's no differentiation between this part and that part. As long as you have a Kazayis, then totally you're good. The Brisa concludes, Ube Mincha, however, by a Mincha, Afilu Kula Kaimis, even if it's around in its entirety, Lo Yizrik, you can't do Zrika. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? There's no Zrika by a Mincha. Zrika is blood. Mincha is not a Mincha Mavita. Who's talking about a Mincha? Amar a Papa, Mincha's Nesachim. But speaking about an animal carb which was brought, and all you have left is the blood, no animal left. But there is the mincha that's called minchas nesachim, which accompanies a carbon. And that's left behind, that's around. Perhaps that suffices to be considered, as though the carbon is present. I would think, since the minchas nesachim accompanies the, one package with the carbon, perhaps you treat it like the actual animal itself, and as long as that's around, you can proceed with the zrika of the animal. Kamashma, the point is no. No. You need something left over from the animal itself. Either a zayis of the basar or the chelev. Now the question is, who says that a kazayis of chelev qualifies? Some say it was said, mishum b'shum b'chanani, amar kra. So the pasuk after describing the act of zrika says, v'hiktir ha-chelev l'rech nechoyach l'ashem. To tell you that if you have some chelev, l'rech nechoyach, that is enough to allow for the zrika. Chelev, even if you have just chelev. Va'ava b'shein basa, even though you don't have any basa. That's enough. So again, it counts as a separate component, together with you have the dam, that's for the zrika, you have the chelev, which is for consumption, even though it's for mizbeach consumption, that qualifies. Continues the Gemara, va'ashchon chelev. Okay, so certainly if there is some chelev left, that's good enough, as per the pasuk, which mentions chelev. What about yuseris, shteakloyes, other parts of the animals, the kidneys, etc., which are meant to be put in the mizbeach menol? How do we know that they also can count? If you have some of those, the ketani, because look, the brisa said, uba mincha, afilu kulu kayemus la'yizrek. The brisa singles out the mincha. That doesn't qualify. Okay, but apparently other items do. Mincha with la'yizrek. If you have just a mincha left over, you can't do zrika. Ha! But let's imply from the brisa, yoseres, shtei kloyes, yizrek. If you have the yoseres, or shtei kloyes, that's enough to allow for zrika. But no, how do we know that's so? Because the brisa only mentions chelev. The answer is like this. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan himself, who was the one who presented this, he himself explained. L'reach nechayach. Look at the next part of the pasuk. Ha-chelev, l'reach nechayach. That additional phrase addresses even Yeseris or Shtei Akloyes, they qualify. Kol Shatamal L'Rech Nechoyach, even these parts, which are meant L'Rech Nechoyach, to generate that aroma, it's meant for Mizbeach consumption, that too qualifies. So the Pasuk allows you to do this Rik if you have either some Basar or even Chelev or even Yeseris or Shtei Akloyes. Now, why does the Pasuk have to single out Chelev and Yeseris or Shtei Akloyes? After all, they're all meant for the Mizbeach, so once you explain one, you know the other one. The Torah has to refer to Chelev. And that too. Because of Chelev. If only Chelev, I mean, I would think, Chelev in. Chelev qualifies. Yeseres are shtei klai yisloi, but not the other types. Kas rachmonu rech nechayach. That's why Torah comes back and says rech nechayach. That also works. And that covers any part of the animal which is meant for the mizbeach. Okay, so then just say this, and we already know chaylev. Because rachmonu rech nechayach, the Torah only say the second phrase, I mean, I would say afilu mincha. Anything that is placed on the mizbeach. Even the minchas nesachim, which accompanies the carbon, that also qualifies. Kas rachmonu chaylev. That's why the Torah stressed chaylev. To tell you that even though I'm adding, I'm expanding with the reich nechayach to cover other items, but it's limited to parts of the actual animal, like the chaylev. So mincha, which is outside the animal, doesn't qualify. Okay, so in a nutshell, we learned that if you want to proceed with the haktorah of the kmitza, or the zrik of the dam, according to Rabbi Elazar, even if there's nothing else left, you can continue. According to Rabbi Yishua, you must have the other part of the carbon as well, part of the basar, part of the chaylev, or the seres de'akleyos, or in the case of the mincha, part of the shirayim. Zok de'el gemish, shaloi b'klishor is pasal, Rabbi Shimon Machshir. So initially the mincha material is placed in a klishor, that's why it's mixed, it gets its kedusha, its initial kedusha, then you do the kmitza, and the scoop itself is placed in another klisharis, like the Kabbalah of the Dam, right? We explained that every act corresponds to the different steps that is executed by the animal korbanos. The kmitza is like the shechita, then the Kabbalah Sadam has the placement of the kaimitz in the klisharis, then we have the walking into the mizbeach, and then placing it on the mizbeach itself. So, what happens if he fails to place the kaimitz in a klisharis? It's possible, because you're missing that step. Rabbi Shimon Machshir says even without that step it works. Just take it straight on the Mizbeach. Hikter Kaimitz HaMayim Kshera, another halacha. Suppose he took the Kaimitz, which is comprised of a certain amount of material, and he split it into two and he placed it on the Mizbeach separately. In two parts. It works. It's okay. Okay. Let's go back to the first discussion. Amar Bido Breder of Chia. My time that Rabbi Shimon, why does Rabbi Shimon say that a Kaimitz need not be placed in a klisharis? Amakro, the pasuk says so. The pasuk describes a mincha and compares it to either a carbon chatas or a carbon asham. What for? What's the point of the comparison? To tell you that a mincha can be executed two ways. Either with a kli, like the asham, where the dam is placed in a kli, and that's what, or like the chatas, which is done manually, where the blood is placed on the mizbeach manually with his finger. So you have a choice in the matter. Amakra, Kodesh Kodashim Hi, the mincha is considered Kodesh Kodashim, and it's compared to either Kechatas or Kodashim. And the point is to give you both options. Balaiv the Biyad, if he chooses to just use his hands, do it manually, similar to a Chatas, whose blood is applied manually, then he can do so. Just make sure you use your right hand. So take the Kaimitz with your right hand, put it directly on the mizbeach. You don't have to put it into a Kli for Kiddush. So this is Rav Shimon's source that you need not be Mekadesh the Kaimitz in the Klisharis after the Kamitz. Continues the Braisa. So this is like Kechatas. B'Kli, if he chooses to use a Kli to put the Kaimitz in a Kli and take it like that to the Mizbech, then he can use even your left. Do it with your left hand, like the Asham, where left hand is okay. So that's Rabbi Yehuda Breid of Chia's explanation in Rabbi Shimon. You have a choice in the matter. If you want to use a klisharis to be mekadosh to kaimitz, go ahead. You can do it even with your left. If you choose not to be mekadosh to kaimitz to klisharis, that's also okay. Make sure you do it with your right hand, like the chattas. Rabbi Yanai Omar, he disagrees. He says, even if you do it manually, you can do it with your left hand too. There's no requirement to do it with your right hand. He doesn't hold of this drush of this pasuk. Kimish comes from klisharis, as long as you did the kmitza from a klisharis, which is certainly required. Once you have it in your hands, take it to the mizbech, even with your left hand, in any which way you choose. Maleyu, maktira, afilu b'myanik, use even your belt to hold the kmitza, afilu b'mekedesh acheres, which is an earthenware kli, which is certainly doesn't qualify as a klisharis. It's your left hand, doesn't matter. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar, he disagrees entirely. He says, hakol moedim b'kmitza shetorn kiddush. Even Rav Shimon would agree to the Chacham that you have to be Mekadosh the Kaimitz. So after you do the kmita, put in a kli shoris, of course, ton kiddush. But once you've done that, now you have a choice in the matter. Now you can take it out of the kli and take it up to the mizbeach. You don't need kli shoris for halacha, for akhtar, right? But the initial kiddush you need. Okay, so we have three ways to understand Rav Shimon. From one extreme to the other. Either certainly you need kiddush kaimitz. Either you don't need kiddush kaimitz, you can use your hands, even your left hand. Or you don't need kiddush kaimitz, but if you choose to use your hands, you must use your right. Here comes a kasha meisvei. The Braisa seems to say that you can use your right or left hand. Hekter chalav, veivarim, veitzim, shehelon. So whether it's the fats, the evarim, the parts of the oil, hufaya, which shehelon, which would take it on this beach, in any which way, ben biyad, ben mikli, ben bimim, ben smoke share, right hand, left hand, yad, kli, it's okay. Same thing with the kaimetz, hakaimetz, vaktoiris, valavoina, shehelon, which would take it up to the mizbeach. Irrespective, ben biyad, ben mikli, ben bimim, ben smoke, right hand, left hand, kli, share, they're okay. And that's a big kasha on the first opinion, which says that if you choose to use your right hand, if you choose to use your hand, it's got to be the right hand. You have to draw the Rudachia. Amalach. So he responds with a different explanation in the Braisa. Amalach Rabbi Yehuda Rudachia. He'll have to answer like this. It's Dadan Katani. The Braisa must be split into two scenarios, one or the other. Maybe Min Bekli. Sorry, Santar Biyad. If he chose to use his hands, do it manually, be him in. It must be the right. Bikli, with a kli, then you have a choice. Ben, ben, be him in. Ben, small, right or left is okay. Okay, so the plain, simple understanding of the Braisa seem to indicate that even if it's the hand, left is okay. Rabbi Yehuda responds, no. Toshmai comes another raya. Comes to Shlemi Kli Sharis. Vikichoi, Shlemi Kli Sharis. Suppose he did the kmitza out of a kli, which was not a kli sharis. That's standard requirement according to all shittas. V'kitchoy. Shalom kli sharis. And the next step was, he did the kiddush in a kli, which was not a kli sharis. Strike two. And he transported up to the Mizbeach without a Kli Sharis. It's a non-starter, it's possible. However, blessed Rabbi Shimon, oh, Machshir Matan Kli. They take issue with the second point. They say, look, you don't have to place the claim. Once you did the Kmitza from a Kli Sharis, you're good to go. You don't need to place it in another Kli Sharis. So that's going to be a kasha on that opinion on Rabbi Nachman Ritzel, who said that even according to Rabbi Shimon, you have to place it in a Kli Sharis. How's he going to understand this Braisa? Emo, we have to revise the Braisa like this. Mimatan kli ba'eloch. All Rav Shimon meant to say was, after you place it in a kli, matan kli ba'eloch, after which you don't need kli sharis for the halacha, etc. But of course, it has to be placed in the kli sharis to get at that kedush. Toshmai comes another attempt at a raya. V'chom aymrim. Koymetz ton kli sharis. Yeah, a kli sharis is required for the koymetz keitzat. So how do you do this? Kaimtze miklisharis, umakachi miklisharis, umala maktir miklisharis. You do the kmitza from a klisharis, then you place the kmitza in a klisharis, and that's how you take it up to the mizbeach. Rav Shimon Omer, Kimish, come to miklisharis, as long as he did the first step, he did the kmitza from a klisharis, you're done. Maloi, umaktir, shlabi klisharis, you can proceed without a klisharis, vidai, it's okay. Apparently, you don't need to place the kaimtze in a klisharis. Again, that's a kasha. So as the way Ema, we have to revise the Braisa again. Kima Shekamtza Vikitcha B'Klisharis. Once he did the Kmitza from a Klisharis, and then place the Kmitza in yet another Klisharis to give it that added Kedusha. Now you're good. Malo Yomaktiru V'dayu. Now you can bring it up without a Klisharis. Toshmai comes another right. Kamatz B'Minay. V'Nasam B'Smaylai. So he did the Kmitza with his right hand properly, but then he passed the Kmitza material to his left hand. Get it back to the right. As we learned before, according to the first opinion, if he's going to process it with his hands, if he'll do it manually, it must be his right hand. Now, while it was in his left hand, he decided to have all kinds of nefarious plans, pigol, and all kinds of, you know, whether to process it out of the area, and the wrong time. And this was while the koymetz was in his left hand. Left hand is not a qualifying element, right? As we explained, we're going like the opinion that you have to use the right hand if you're doing it manually. So possibly a curse, even though he took it like that in his back, the mincha is possible, but there's no curse because the machshava of pigel doesn't really take hold, doesn't take effect, because it was expressed during while his left hand was tending to it, which is not the proper means of doing it. There's another gersa, bimina. However, if it was during while the koymetz was in his right hand properly, then he had those thoughts of chuslam koymoy, so it's possible because there's no kares on chuslam koymoy. However, if it was chuslas mani that he had in mind, then it's a full pigel. There's kares if one eats it. Divrei Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon. Okay, so that's Reza and Rav Shimon's opinion. The Chachamim say, look, you know what, too late. Kibben shenosnei l'smoil paslasai, matnasai. Going to Rav Shimon, although we're going like the opinion that you, when you do it manually, you have to do it with your right hand. So even though you pass it to his left, you can put it back. Put it back to the right hand. Pass it right back and you're good. You haven't really permanently ruined the mincha. But according to Chachamim, once it was passed to his left, hand, the show's over. Kivish Nosan the smile, once he passed the kmitza to the left hand, paslase matnasai. The process, the fact that he handed it matnasai, the fact that he was Nosan, he passed it to his, it destroyed the mincha. You know why? It aborted the whole process. My time, you know why? Because going to the Chachamim, there are several steps that have to happen. First the kmitza from the klisharis, and then placement in another klisharis. So that corresponds to the blood flowing from the neck of the animal into a klisharis. Now if he interrupts that process by putting it in his left hand, even if he quickly brings it back home, it's too late. It's like the blood dripped on the floor straight out of the animal. It's over. It disqualifies the blood, as we learned back in Maseches Bracha. My time is from the boy kedusha b'kli, because the koymetz must be sanctified and clean. He can't interrupt the process; it has to be continuous. V'kivish shenosn the small. Once it was passed to the left, he gave it over to his nasa kadam shenishvach mitaver behim al ritzba. It's like the blood that spilled straight out of the neck of the animal to the floor. V'asofa, even if he gathers it together, it's too late. Shapasol. That's why Kuntah Chachamim shows over. But why does Reb Shimon allow it to go through? Apparently, you don't have to place the koymetz in a klisharis, so there's no process that he's interrupting. When he passes it to his left and back to the right, they don't require the matan kli, and that's a big kasha on Rav Nachman, who says that even according to Rav Shimon, matan kli is required by yikmitza to yufta to Rav Nachman to yufta. Okay, so that's now the Rav Yudah Rav Chima Sayele, according to the first shita that was mentioned earlier, Rabbi Yudah Rav Chiya, that if the kohen chooses to use his hand, it must be the right. Well, this bray says right on. It's describing exactly that. That even going to Rav Shimon, right hand is required. Okay, so Rabbi Yudah Rav Chiya, Misayeli. What about that middle shita, Rabbi Yanai, who said that there's no restriction. You can use right hand, left hand. How does he learn this bray? Which clearly requires right hand, even according to Rav Shimon. Limit of it, yufta. This is going to be a refutation of Rav Yanai. Rav Yanai says, you're right. I'm not going to go with this brisa. I'll go with that earlier brisa. Remember that brisa which said that everything passes. I'm going to go with that brisa. Rav Yanai, limit of it, yufta. Rav Yanai, ano dam rikitana the hektar. I'm going to go like the other brisa earlier with the hektar chalavim, etc., which allows the kaimitz in his left as well. I'm going to learn it straightforward, as per this simple understanding of the brayso, which allows even left hand, not like the other way that we try to understand and explain it. So bottom line is, I have a brayso which supports my opinion in Rav Shimon's position. Okay, so we have Rav Shimon's shita. We have three ways to understand it. Rav Shimon does not require klisharis, but you have to be mekalish in a klisharis, after which you can take it out and take it up in the mizbeach without a klisharis. Rabbi Yanai says you don't need klisharis for kiddush. You use your right hand, left hand, it's up to you. According to Rav Yudah Rav Chiya, you can use the choose to use a klisharis, and then you could even use your left hand to carry it, but if you choose the hand, it must be with the right hand, like the chatas. That's Rav Shimon, according to the Chachamim. Of course, after the kmitza from a klisharis, that's replaced in another klisharis, and like that, taken to the mizbeach. In the second part of the Mishnah, we learned about splitting up the kaimitz material and placing it on the mizbeach in separate pieces. Hiktir kaimitz hamayim ksheir. Amar Rav Yishon and Levi, only in two parts, no more than two parts. It can't be smaller than that. Pa'amayim, v'loy pa'ami pa'amayim. You can't do it multiple pieces. V'loy pa'ami pa'amayim. You can't split it into three, four pieces. It's too small. Rabbi Yechon Amar, no, pa'amayim. In two phases, and even three or four. Afilu pa'amayim pa'amayim. My b'nai, what's this machlekes rooted in? Amar Rav Zeira, as follows. Two questions. How much material is typically found in a kaimitz? Does it need to be at least two kazesim, or even less? Yesh kaimitz pachas mishnei zesim. One question is, can a kaimitz be comprised of less than two kazesim of the material? That's one question. The next question is, yesh haktora pachasim kazesim. If one chooses to place less than a kazayis of material on the mizbeach at a time, is that considered an act of haktorah? Or perhaps it needs to be a shir, like a person eats and needs to be a kazayis to be considered an act of achilah, perhaps the same with haktorah. So the machlokes revolves around these two questions. Ikei b'nai. Let's, Shmuel Levi Savar, so the first opinion who said, at most you can split the kaimitz into two pieces and put it up like that. You can't dissect it any further, because he holds, if you do any more, it will be too small, less than a kazayis. And you need at least a kazayis at a time to be considered a haktara. Ein kaimitz pachas mishnei zeisim. The starting point of a kaimitz is no less than two zeisim. So you start it with two. So that's why the Mishnah allows you to split it. Because each half has a zayis. Because less than that doesn't work. Ein haktara pachas mishnei. You can have a haktara less than a kazayis. So at most, split it into two parts. Rabbi Yechon Savar says, no, there's no restrictions. Yesh kaimitz pachas mishnei zeisim. The star of the kaimitz can have less than two zeisim. Yesh haktorah pachas mekazayis. And likewise, when the Mishnah says you can split that into two, because the haktorah can be less than a kazayis, so even if you split it into three, four pieces, you're okay. Now, of course, the Mefarshim point out, you can't, Tosfos points out, you can't crumble it into little pieces. We learned the background of design. That's not derech haktorah, but if it's a substantial chunk, that's okay. Okay, so he's putting the kaimitz on the mizbeach, and he wants to eat the shirayim. At what point can he start eating it? Instantly? Or do we have to wait for the fire to start consuming the kaimitz? To process it and allow the shirayim for the consumption. Itmar. Kaimitz, the placement of the kaimitz on the mizbeach. May masai matish shirayim b'achila. At what point can the shirayim be consumed? How burnt does it have to get? Rabbi Chanina, ima mishamoshla b'yisa'ur. As long as the fire took hold of it, got a little, char, that's okay. Rabbi Yechon Amar. So as soon as it's burnt a little bit of it, Rashi says miktsasa. Rabbi Yechon Amar shetatas bo yisur beruba. You need much more than that. You need the most of the kaimitz to be consumed. Amar le Rabbi the Rabbi Rabbi Yitzchak Ashbalach. Let me explain to you a time to Rabbi Yechon. Why does Rabbi Yechon insist on most? Amar kro the pasuk by stoim, which refers to the lashon of haktara. V'hinei ola kitor haaretz ki kitor akivshan. So the smoke and the it's like the smoke coming out of a furnace. And we know that in Kivshon Malakitar, the furnace will not generate smoke unless the firewood is mostly consumed. Ashatatsis or Berube, likewise, the act of Akhtara, which relates to Akhaimitz, must have that same experience, mostly consumed. Amale Rabin Barav Adel Rabba. So he told Rabba, Amri Tamitcha, your students say over in the name of Rav Amram, Amar Rav Amram. He quotes a Brai Satanya. Aimli Ela Dvarim Shadarkan the Kurva Laila. So what materials are meant to be in the Mizbeach at night? What could be Kigoyne Varim of Dar? Only Dvarim Shadark and the Kerbal Kigoyne Varim of Dar, parts of the Oila, fat, Shemal, Makhtirim, Vayashemesh. So those can be brought up in the Mizbeach after sunset, and Vayashemesh. Umusak and Vazon Kalaila Kulan throughout the night, they are consumed and burnt. What about Dvarim Shadark and the Kerbal Yoyim, things which are meant to be placed on Mizbeach during daytime? Kigoyne, for instance, Hakkoimets, Valavoyne, Bakhtiris, Mechaskan, Mashiach, Shuach, Chasnasachim. What about daytime materials? Shemalot u'maktirin b'yashemesh, can they too be placed in the mizbeach after sunset? Hold it, says him. What do you mean? You just told me they're daytime. Now you tell me they're nighttime materials? V'ramis darken the karavim. Just told me they're meant for the day. Ela in b'yashemesh. The point that the Braise is to teach that perhaps even daytime materials can be placed in the mizbeach right before sunset. Shemes Akun Vorchen Kalalaila, and let them stay on the Mizbech and be incinerated throughout the entire night. Is that okay, Manayin? How do we know that's true? Tamalayim Zoyis Teresa Oila Riba. Zoyis Teresa Oila, all these materials, even daytime materials, are okay to place close to sunset and have them burn throughout the night. Now, the question is, imagine, take a kaimitz, a minute before Shkir, put on the Mizbech. It's not going to get very far by the time nighttime arrives. You're not going to get most of it burnt. If you place it right before, you're not going to have most of it consumed by the time Shkia comes a minute later. And that's a requirement according to one opinion. Like Kashi answers like this, we're talking about lahater. At what point is the shiraim going to be consumed? For that you need most of the kaimitz burnt, properly processed. But here in the Brisa, we're not speaking about that. We're speaking about liklait. At what point does Mizbeach capture it? You see, typically, Mizbeach, carbon material stays overnight, it becomes, stays past sunset, it becomes possible, it's lina. It's past the day of Akrav, but once it's on the Mizbeach, it becomes sort of attached to the Mizbeach, it's home, it's safe, it's sound, it's protected, it's not affected by the overnighting. What makes that connection? What triggers that safety switch? As long as you put it on the Mizbeach right before Shkia. Rabbi Lezer Maslam Miboy HaShemesh. Rabbi Lezer learned the Braisa straightforward, Miboy HaShemesh. These items are placed on Mizbeach after sunset. The question was, what do you mean? They're daytime materials. Umukam Lev Paikin. He learns that the Braisa is speaking about, yeah, they were placed during daytime, but then during the night they flew off. They were, you know, shot off through the, you know, the fire. And the point of the Braisa is to require us to put it back on the Mizbeach throughout the night. V'chein ki yasir Rab Dimi. Likewise, when he came, Omer Biani, he quoted from Rabbi Yani, but Paikin was speaking about items which tripped off the Mizbeach. And the Braisa speaks about Teiris and Levoina and Kaimetz, all those must be replaced and put back on the Mizbeach. Is that true that Chodja Rabbi Yana was speaking about this phenomenon? Rabbi Yana himself teaches us Teiris Shepokam Algam Mizbeach Afil Kroatan Shubo in Machzir and Oysan. He says, Teiris material that flew off the Mizbeach, even Kroatan Shubo, even if they're substantial pieces, you don't put it back on the Mizbeach. You know why? He learned in Yeshiva Rabbi Lezer Yaakov. Why are we singling out Asher Teichala Eishes So Oila Al Mizbeach? The Torah says, restore parts of the oila that fell off. Ikuli oila to machser. We have to machser ikuli k'teres. You only put back parts of the oila, not k'teres. So according to Rabbi Yani, the Brisa is speaking about paikin. Why does the Brisa mention k'teres, which is not meant to be put? Some become k'teres. Have to delete k'teres from the list. Okay, so we have machlekes. How much does the kaimetz have to burn up before the shiraim amutter? Even a little piece, or most of it? In terms of finding its place on a mizbeach, even a moment before sunset suffices. Amar as, we have a couple of questions regarding the arrangements on the mizbeach and what constitutes a proper act of aktorah regarding a kaimetz, regarding a varim. Amar Rabbi Anaki Pashut Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Menachem. Rabbi Lezer used to teach, learn Menaches. Ba Yochi would ask as follows. Kaimetz Shit Sidroi. He took the kaimetz, arranged it on the Mizbeach, on the actual top surface of the Mizbeach, and he put the firewood on top of that kaimetz. The Sidr Olav Asamarach Mao. Does that work? Derech Haktorah Bekach. Is that a proper way of doing Haktorah? And it works? Or maybe not. It's an abnormal arrangement. Take it, we leave it standing unresolved. By Rechizkik, another question regarding Eivarim, the same thing. Eivarim Shetzidra, he took the parts of the Oila, put on the Mizbeach, directly on the Mizbeach, and the firewood on top. V'sidar alein esam arocha, ma, what's the halacha here? And this question is more based on a Pasuk. Pasuk says, put the carbon ala itzim on the firewood. Amar Rachmana, that's what the Pasuk says. Dafka, perhaps it's specifically that way. Ala Eitzim. Oidilma, or maybe not. Given the Ksiv Karachrina, since we have another Pasuk which says, Asher Teichel Eishes Oila Ala Mizbeach, but the fire will incinerate the Oila on the Mizbeach. It sounds like it's directly on the surface. So you can do it either way. Choose your options. Iboy Yachiyavid, you can do it this way or that way. Firewood on top or on bottom, take it. We leave it unresolved. But Rebitzel comes another question. From Yitzchak Nafcha, Ivarim Shetzidron Betzidam Arachamau. So he has the firewood arrangement here, and beside that, on the Mizbeach itself, he put the Ivar, not on top of the wood, not beneath the wood. Ma, what's the halacha here? So it's based on the Lashon HaPasuk, which says, place it ala Eitzim, right? I'll leave it the Mandama al Mamish. So if you hold that al always means directly on top, literally, like Tabayach, there's no question, it doesn't work. it's ala etzim, except the pasuk says ala etzim. Okay, so we mentioned ala etzim or under etzim, but here it's next to the etzim. It doesn't work. Actually, the Chafetz Chaim writes that this this question only applies to that understanding that ala etzim means on the firewood itself. Okay, so if it has to be on top, this is not on top. The question will arise according to the opinion discussed later in Daf Tzadik Vav that, you know, the term al doesn't necessarily mean on top. It can mean next to it also. Here it's next to the wood. My, so what's the halacha? Chenami. Al basamach, shall we say, in this case as well, next to it is enough. Perhaps the word al eitzim, in this case, certainly means on top. Why? Because it's similar to the term ala mizbeach, which is also cited in the same pasuk, which certainly means on the mizbeach, not next to the mizbeach. You don't talk Torah next to the mizbeach. So just like ala mizbeach means directly on top, mahosam al mamish, right? Dumi al mizbeach, mahosam al mamish. So ala mizbeach means literally on top. Afachadam al mamish. Likewise, when it says ala etzim, it means literally on the firewood, not next to it. Take it, we leave it unresolved. Okay, so we have three shaylos regarding the derech haktorah. On top of the firewood, or even beneath it. And then the question was, what about next week? Okay, all the best to you and much hatzlacha.